Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that the broadcast will be a blessing and an encouragement to your heart. Please stay tuned, and I know today if you'll listen to God's Word, it will encourage your heart. You see, the Lord wants to give us joy for our journey, and if you'll let God speak to you through His precious Word, we can have that joy for our journey of our life. God bless you today. Please let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch hearts and those that are listening today. I know that there are many that are sick in their bodies. I know that there are many, Lord, that have lost loved ones. I know that there are many, Lord, on the sound of my voice that need financial help. We pray and we call upon you, O Lord God, that you would help in this hour of need. Touch and heal the sick. Save the lost. Touch and bless people financially, Lord, that they can provide for their homes and families. And Lord, we pray especially for our country and ask God that you bless our great country and bring revival to our land before it's too late. And I pray, Father, forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities and help us to do that which is right. Help us to be good to one another and not be prejudiced in any way. Help us to love one another and be kind. And Lord, help us, Lord, to try to help and not always tear down. But God, give us wisdom and grace to do that which is right. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I want to talk about being somebody. We all want to be somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody. And today, I want to tell you how to be somebody. If you have your Bibles and you can read with me, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19, and I want to start reading with the first verse. Luke, chapter 19, started reading with the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I want to repeat that again. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he could not for the press, because he was little of stature, or he was a short man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. I want to repeat that again. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, I want to repeat that again. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto them, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to emphasize on that last verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And I want you to know that's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which was lost, that we all may come unto salvation. It's not God's will that any man perish, but we all come unto salvation. This portion of scripture reminds me one day I was getting ready to lead singing in a church, and I was going to get that old hymn that I love, Oh, I Want to See Him, Look Upon His Face, there to sing forever of His amazing grace. And I love that old hymn, Oh, I Want to See Him. And as I got ready to sing it within my heart, I said, Lord, I want to see you, Lord. And the Lord spoke back into my heart, and he said, and Blondie, I want to see you too. I don't think we think about that enough. Not only do we want to see the Lord Jesus, but he wants to see us as well. And that's what this whole scripture is about right here. It's about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And he had heard that Jesus was coming into Jericho. And the Bible said he said that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And I want to stop right there. This is an important part right here. Zacharias sought to see Jesus, who he was, not who was in the crowd, not who was among the people there, not, he didn't want to see the disciples. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. It'll make a difference in your life when you want to see Jesus, who he is, not man. Because let me tell you, man is going to let you down, and man will fail, and man don't always measure up to what you think he should be. But you need to seek to see who Jesus is. And the Bible says this, that Zacharias ran ahead, because see, Zacharias was a short man, and he couldn't see who Jesus was for all the crowd of people that was around Jesus. So the Bible says that he ran ahead of everyone else. And I want to stop and tell you this right here. You'll always get ahead when you seek to see Jesus. I want to say that again. You'll always get ahead when you seek to see who Jesus is. The Bible says that he ran ahead of everyone else, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, he was little of stature. He was short. Now, that would have been enough to deter most people, because they would have had an excuse to turn around and go back home. I'm too short. I couldn't see over the crowd. It was too many people there. Nobody would let me in. They were pressing in on the Lord. I tried, but couldn't see him because I was born short. Always excuses, excuses, excuses. But you know, Zacharias didn't let that excuse stop him, that he was shorter than everybody else and he couldn't look over the crowd. People today say, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too poor, or too rich, too busy. They always got an excuse why they can't see Jesus. Always coming up with an excuse why they can't see who Jesus is. They can't because of this, and they can't because of that. But Zacharias, he didn't let his excuse stop him from seeing who Jesus was. The Bible said instead of using his excuse not to see Jesus, he climbed up. On his excuse, he climbed up a sycamore tree. He got above everybody else. He didn't use it as a stumbling stone. He used it as a stepping stone. He climbed ahead up in a sycamore tree, so when Jesus passed that way, he could look at him. And let me tell you something. You that out there are always using your excuses why you can't see Jesus, you're never going to get ahead. You out there that always got an excuse why you can't get up in the house of God, why you not been to church today, why you not going to church, always got an excuse why you can't go to church. You're never going to get ahead. You might have some money in your bank. You might be living in a big home, but I'm talking about your soul and your spirit. You're never really going to get ahead because there's always an empty void in your life. You don't never have peace and joy in your heart. The Bible says that Zacharias was a rich man. You see, he was a tax collector. He knew how to get money out of people. He was a very rich man. But he still knew that he needed to see who Jesus was, and he needed to get ahead. And he did that by climbing up a tree to see who Jesus was. He didn't let his excuses stop him, but he used them as a stepping stone. And let me tell you something. I got to thinking about this. He ran in the right direction. He went to higher ground. I like that. Zacharias didn't use his excuse, why I can't see Jesus, I'm short, I crowd's too thick. He ran to higher ground. And every time you go to see Jesus, every time you make an effort to get up and go to the house of God, every time you make an effort to read your word, every time you make an effort to see who Jesus is, you're going to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Oh, come on, church, on higher ground. He got to higher ground. And he climbed up a sycamore tree because he was bound and determined that he wasn't going to let Jesus pass him by. He wanted to see who this man Jesus was. I would love to run up on some people today that not going to let excuses keep them out of the house of God. Not going to let excuses keep them from worshiping God. Not going to let excuses keep them out of the house of God and doing God's will. They're going to run ahead. They're going to get ahead of everybody else. They're going to get in higher ground, and they're going to see who Jesus is. He said, well, what happened to him? The Bible says this in verse 5, and I want to read this to you because it's so important. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. The Bible says that when Jesus came to the place that Zacchaeus had climbed up into, the sycamore tree, that Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus. Had you ever thought about that? Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus. See, when you really want to see Jesus, Jesus is going to look up to you. The only time that Jesus is going to look down on you is when he's reaching down to pick you up out of the muck and the mire. Jesus will look up to you. You're somebody to Jesus. You're somebody in his eyes. The Bible says that Jesus looked up where he was. He looked up to Zacchaeus. He looked up to him. You get the attention of the Lord God Almighty when you make an effort to see Jesus. You get the attention of the divine throne of God when you make an effort to get ahead of the press and to see who Jesus is, and you won't let your excuses stop you. He ran ahead of the crowd, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. He got ahead of the crowd. I like that. And the Bible says in that fifth verse that Jesus looked up. He looked up to him. And let me tell you something else. Jesus will never leave you up a tree. I love, my grandson told me something the other day that's really stuck in my heart. He said, Jesus will never leave you in the lost and found section. I like that. Jesus will never leave you in the lost and found section. He's never going to pass you by. If you have a sincere desire in your heart to see who he is, if you have a sincere desire in your heart to want to know about him, he's going to look you up, and he's going to look up to you, and he is not going to pass you by. He won't leave you in the lost and found section. Jesus will stop by, and he'll take your hold of you, and he'll meet your need if you'll let him. Now, something else I want you to understand, too. The Bible says this, that Jesus called him down. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down, for I want to abide at your house. Can you imagine how he must have felt after being in all that he had went through that day, wanting to see Jesus, just wanted to get a glimpse of who this man was? He had to push his way through the crowd. He ran ahead of the crowd. He climbed up a tree, and Jesus stopped and looked up to him and said, come on down. I want to come and abide. I want to stay at your house today. And I got to reading this scripture, and I got to thinking about it. Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd, and he made haste and came down and received Jesus. He was always in a hurry. He was always in a run. I got to thinking about, wonder why he was always running. Well, one thing, he was an IRS man. He was a tax man. He was used to running. Amen. He was used to running. But when Jesus told him to come down out of that tree, make haste and come down. And that's what you and I got to do today. Don't drag your feet. That song says when the saints go marching in, not when the saints go dragging in. Come down and receive him joyfully. Come down and take Jesus into your heart. It grieves my heart when you stand up in a church and you preach the word of God and tell people what God wants to do for them and how he wants to bless them and how he wants to call them down out of their trees and how he wants to look up to them and how he wants them to see him. And then you have to beg them and plead with them to come down to the altar and let you pray with them. Beg them to come get blessed. Beg them to get up out of their seat and come to the altar. When Jesus asked Zacchaeus one time, Jesus didn't stand at the foot of that tree and beg him for hours and hours and hours to come down. Jesus didn't have the choir to sing "Just As I Am" 75 times. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And the Bible says that he made haste and came down. And not only did he come down, he received Jesus joyfully. He went moaning and groaning and thinking, oh, well, I don't know how long this will last. I don't know if I can do. He made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. Jesus didn't have to beg him to do it. Jesus didn't have to beg him to come down. Jesus didn't have to beg him to want to go to his house. He came down and received him joyfully, joyfully, joyfully. See, let me tell you something. This, in verse 8, I want to read this to you. I want you to hear it. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. You see, when you come down and receive Jesus joyfully, and when Jesus looks up to you, you can look up to Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus, that when Jesus called him down, Zacharias in verse 8 said he came down and stood and looked at Jesus. Let me tell you, he was a short man, but he had to look up to Jesus because Jesus was taller than he was. When Jesus looks up to you and you come down and receive him joyfully, you'll always look up to Jesus. You'll always hold him high. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to live Jesus higher. I can always tell when a ministry is growing or when it's decreasing. When a ministry is growing, they always talk more about Jesus and less about themselves. But when a ministry begins on the decline, they always talking about more of what they're doing for themselves and less about what they're doing for Jesus. I went to a church the other night, and for over an hour, they sang choruses. For over an hour in this church, they sang choruses. And I noticed very, very carefully, for one solid hour in this church, as they sang choruses, never one time in these choruses was the name of Jesus ever mentioned. Never one time was his name ever mentioned in all of those courses. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I'm not against courses. I'm not against singing the courses in church. But let me tell you, we don't ever need to leave out the name that's above every name, the name whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Don't ever leave out the name of Jesus. The Bible says that he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when Jesus went to his house, this is what Zacharias told him. He said, Lord, he said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And then he said, if I've taken anything unjustly, I'm going to restore it fourfold. I love that. He had a change of heart. He had a change of way of living. A friend of ours got saved some years ago, and the day after he went to the altar and gave his heart to the Lord, one of his old buddies called him up and wanted him to go out with him that night, and they were going to do some drinking and carrying on, and he asked our friend, said, you want to go with me? And I'll never, never forget what my friend said. He said, I can't go with you no more because I done changed my way of living. Oh, I like that. I done changed my way of living. We need to change our way of living, drop our way of living, and take God's way of living. And that's what Zacharias did. He came down, he received Jesus joyfully, and because of that, he changed his way of living. He was no longer a dishonest tax collector. He was no longer considered to be a short, despised man. But he not only restored the things that he had taken by false accusation, he returned it back fourfold. Can you imagine the testimony that was in that community of that tax collector that went out and took half of his riches and gave it to the poor people and then went to all the people that he had wronged and said, I've wronged you and I'm going to restore it back fourfold what I've taken from you. Can you imagine the change and the revival that was in the land when Zacharias went out, got down out of that tree and received Jesus and went out in the community and did what he was supposed to do? Can you imagine what a change it would be in our communities if we would be honest and if we would do the right thing and if we would be kind to our neighbors and if we would always treat men honestly and treat them well and be good to them? Can you imagine the revival that went on? But you know, that's what's going to happen in your life when you receive Jesus joyfully. You're going to change your way of living. You're going to change your way of thinking. Because the Bible says that when we receive Jesus, we become new creations. All things have passed away. All things have passed. And behold, all things become new. He makes everything new in our life. A lot of you today have got a lot of mess in your life, a lot of trouble, a lot of trials. But Jesus will make all things new in your life if you'll just receive him into your heart and into your home joyfully and let him come into your life. Since Jesus came into my heart, I love that song, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy will flow in our lives since Jesus came into my heart. That's a song we need to be singing. That's our testimony, since Jesus came into my heart. And there's something else in this portion of scripture that I want you to pay close attention to. And this is totally amazing. You see, the Jews would always get angry at Jesus when he healed someone or forgave them and tell them that salvation had come to them. Because by the Torah reading, they believed that only God could forgive sins and only God could heal. And when Jesus came healing and forgiving sins, they knew what that meant. That he was declaring himself to be God in flesh. And that's what made him mad. It wasn't because Zacchaeus had a change in his life. It's because they got mad at Jesus. The Bible says that they began to murmur because they said he's gone to a home to eat and fellowship with a sinner. Well, that's why he came. Once we were blind, but now we see. Once we were lost, but now we were found. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm glad that Jesus came and took up abode in my life and my home. I'm glad he called me down out of my tree. I'm glad one day he looked up to me and forgave me of all my sins. My husband, I told a story about something that happened in our life years ago, but I never caught on to what he really meant when he said what he did. And I want to tell you what happened to us. We were in a truck stop, a little small truck stop in Bakersfield, California. And we'd had company in our mobile chapel all that day. And at 3:00 in the morning, we were just closing up. Our last visitor had left the chapel, and I was cleaning the floors up, getting everything ready to close the chapel up. We were going to try to get a little rest. And my husband was standing on the outside of the chapel, waiting for the floors to dry, and I was finishing up on the inside. And he called up inside, and he said, "Blondie, put the coffee on. God is sending me somebody." And I thought, "Oh, gracious, man, I'm tired." I thought, "Oh, gracious, this some truck driver come in off the road at here 3:00 in the morning, and here they going to drink coffee and talk all night." And I thought, "Oh, gracious." But I went on and made the coffee, and I went in the chapel. And my husband had brought this lady in. She was an elderly lady. And I tell you people, she looked like she hadn't had a bath in months and months. And her hair was, it's no way I could describe how disarrayed this woman looked, how bad she was. And everything that poor woman owned was on her back and wrapped up in a plastic bag. And my husband gave her the coffee that I made, and he tried to talk to her. And at first, she just talked out of her head, just nonsense. And she lived in the orange groves down from the truck stop where we was parked. That's where she lived. She lived out in the orange groves. And my husband kept talking to her about Jesus. And finally, he asked her, would she accept Jesus? And she said, "Yes, I will." And we prayed with her the sinner's prayer. And she received Jesus as her Savior. And she left after that. The next day, we asked the owner of the truck stop who she was. And he said, "Oh, that's just that woman we call Tote Sack Annie." Said, "She has come here for years, once a day at the truck stop. She'll go and use the restroom, and then she'll go out behind the cafe and crawl in the dump and get her something to eat out of the dump, and then she goes back in the orange groves." And when we heard that, that just crushed our hearts. It broke our hearts to think that somebody lived that way all the time. And when we left there, we were called the owner of the truck stop back, and what we were going to do, we were going to send him some money every month so he could give her a little bit of money so she could go in the truck stop and get her some hot meal once a day and have at least something to eat. And he told us, he said, "After you left, we only saw her one more time. She's disappeared. We haven't seen her since." And we wondered what happened to her, but I still remember what my husband said, "God's sending me somebody. God's sending me somebody." And then a year later, we come back to that truck stop, and we went into a church, and we were asked to preach on a Sunday morning, and we told them about this woman that we met a year ago and how she disappeared, and we never knew what happened to her. And a woman stood up at the back of the church and said, "I know who you're talking about," and she called her name. She said, "A year ago, the county picked her up and put her in a nursing home." She says, "I'm a nurse over there." And she said, "Every day that woman walks up and down the aisles of that nursing home and goes into room after room after room, and she tells them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus loves them." You see, my husband knew exactly what he was saying when he said, "God is sending me somebody." Let me tell you, people, Don't you look down on people in the circumstance they're in because they live in an orange grove, or they all disarrayed, or maybe they're up a tree, or maybe they consider to be dishonest, or maybe they consider to be the people on the wrong side of the tracks. They are somebody. In the eyes of our God, they are somebody. My husband said, God is sending me somebody. I knew then when God brought this to me that he saw more in her than just a street person. He saw somebody. He was looking through the eyes of Jesus. And when you look through the eyes of Jesus, you're going to see somebody. You're not going to see trash. You're not going to see a drug addict. You're going to see somebody. Because you see, when we tell them about Jesus, when we present the gospel to them, when we call them down from the sycamore trees, when we look up to them and don't push them down further, there's somebody. God, let me tell you, you are not always who you are. If you say you're Christian, you are not always like that. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't get so high and mighty you forgot where God reached down and picked you up out of. We've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. But it's by God's grace and by God's mercy we were called into salvation. God's sending me somebody. And today, through these radio airwaves, I'm talking to somebody. I'm telling you, you are somebody because Jesus loves you. And he's not going to leave you up a tree. He's going to look up to you and call you down. But you got to receive him joyfully. And today, that's what I want you to do. Right now, I want you to pray this sinner's prayer with me like Claire did. That lady, that street person that they called Tote Sack Annie, her name was Claire. She was somebody. And I want you to pray that same prayer that that dear lady prayed in our chapel that night. Dear God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in glory. Help me to live every day for you. Forgive me of all my sins. This day I pray. I repent of them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you truly meant that in your heart, you're somebody. Let me tell you, you're a child of the King. Don't ever let people look down on you. You are somebody in the eyes of our God. He loves you, but he loves you too much to leave you in the state you're in. He'll help you out of the mess you're in. He'll forgive you of all your sins. No matter what you've done, you're still somebody with Jesus. And he loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you, and he'll help you do right. Oh, like Zacharias, come down and receive him joyfully. And I want you to remember this. The people that talked against Zacharias, the people that murmured and complained that day, Jesus didn't go home with them, but he went home with somebody. They rejected him, but Zacharias received him. Let him go home with you today. Let Jesus go home with you today. Receive him joyfully, and he'll give you a turnaround in your life, in your heart, and in your family. Try him. You are somebody in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for me. You can sum the whole Bible up in those four words. Jesus died for me because you are somebody to him. You're somebody that he loved enough to die for. You're somebody enough that he took your sins on him and paid for that price. But ye must be born again. Ye must come down out of your sycamore tree and receive him joyfully and take him into your heart and into your life. Become his child today. Be born again. God bless you. Let this be a new day for the rest of your life. Let this be a new beginning. Say, today, I'm going to have a new beginning. Write me and let me know about the decision you made for Jesus. God bless you. And if you have a prayer request, write me and I want to pray for you and with you. I promise I'll pray over your prayer request and I promise that I'll keep you in my heart. God bless you today. Have a marvelous day in Jesus. And thank you. Thank you for listening.